All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's not a very big verse, but we are going to fill up a lot of time talking about this subject. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. In the New King James, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." How many have that memorized? You walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we are to live our life. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." How many think it's a good idea that we live by faith? How many have a struggle living by faith and not by sight? Oh, you just aren't willing to admit it, are you? You used to. Well, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come and to read your word and, Father, to be encouraged. And I pray that as we do, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and, Lord, that we would have ears to hear what your spirit has to say today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This morning, as we start this new year, we're closing out the old year. The books are closed. We're starting a new year, and we're going to start it by faith. Amen? By faith, we are going to live 2025 greater than we did 2024. Amen? All right. So, last week, as I closed the service, I asked you to pray about a word that you felt God leading you to learn more about or to investigate and discover more about in this next 21 days. If you didn't know, we're starting, I think Lisa probably has mentioned it, we're starting 21 days of prayer and fasting tomorrow. It starts tomorrow. And I ask you to have a word to investigate or study about. And it doesn't have to be a word that you know nothing about. It could be just a word that is familiar to you that you have thought about for years. And maybe you've already studied about it, but God's got something more for you. Maybe, I talked about this last week, maybe it's a word like love. Love. Everybody knows that word, knows what that's about. But then when we read scriptures like 1 Corinthians 13 and it tells us what love is and what love isn't, then we all kind of start thinking about it. I don't think I really love that way. I'm not always patient and kind, gentle. I seem to remember wrongs committed against me. Anybody else have that problem? We have this memory bank and things get stuck in there. But see, love cancels all that out. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out envy. Perfect love. We could do this. I mean, you might not find a particular scripture for all of this, but you know this is the heart of God. Just like we just sang that song, "Speak the name of Jesus over addictions, over bondages, over families, over cities." You might not have a scripture to speak Jesus over Ritzville, Washington, but how many believe it's God's heart for Ritzville, Washington to be saved? God wants people saved. So We need to be thinking about this. And so as I've been talking with my wife about these things, you know, some of this might be as simple as the fruits of the Spirit. How many know if you have the Spirit of God in you, and if you are born again, you have the fruit of the Spirit in you. You have the Spirit of God in you. The fruit of that is love, joy, peace. And you see, we could go down the list, but it seems like when we get to this one that starts patience, people just kind of, oh man, you would have to touch on that, huh? Well, you know what? That's already in you. Patience is already in you, because if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of that is patience. The problem that we have is we don't know how to release that. We don't know how to let that grow in us. You can tell me very easily how many seeds are in an apple. Can't you? You can cut it open, dig through it, and find all the seeds in there. But it's a little harder to tell me how many apples are in a seed, because you have trees growing. You have multiple apples. You have harvest after harvest after harvest of apples. But it's all in that seed. And that seed for you might be patience, because it's the Word of God. Because it says over in Mark chapter 4, it says that the Word of God is the seed that is sown into our hearts. The Word is the seed. So you might be thinking, well, I don't know what I want to learn. I don't know what I want to study. I don't know what I want to do. You know what? It doesn't have to be difficult. God wants us to grow. And when we grow, John chapter 15 says that we will bear much fruit. We will bear much fruit. Can you look at your life over this last year and say, did you bear much fruit? We have to stop and think about that. I want us this year to grow like never before. I want those love, joy, the fruit. And it doesn't have to be just that. It doesn't have to be just those things. It can be anything God's put on your heart. But study it out and let it grow inside you. Okay? Now, we've been talking the last couple weeks about this, and how Mary heard the word of God from the angel, which was the seed. Mary said, how can this be, since I do not know a man? I don't have a husband. How can this happen? Well, the spirit of the angel told her, says, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you shall conceive. If you want to have a child, you need to conceive, right? If you want to bear fruit, you need to conceive. You got to get the word into you. You got to get the word of God into you. And then it said, walk by faith and not by sight. By faith, I have patience. Not because I didn't get mad at that person, but by faith, I can walk in patience. By faith, I can live every day with joy and peace. That doesn't mean that every time something happens, I'm not going to get upset. But by faith, I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to walk in patience. I'm going to walk in joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I'm going to walk this way by faith. And when I walk that way, then I can know that God is doing a work in me. That it doesn't matter what circumstances are around me, I'm going to walk by faith. Because I am, one, listening to the Word of God, being obedient to the Word of God, saying, God, whatever your Word says, that's for me. What did Mary say? Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. You see, and that was Mary's approach. She snapped to it. I mean, she jumped in there on faith. I mean, so quick. But see, many times we don't do that. Well, let me rephrase that. You might do that. Many times I don't do that. I respond many times like Gideon. Have you read the story of Gideon lately? The story of Gideon is back in Judges chapter 6. And I want to go back there and read just a couple verses out of this. Judges chapter 6. And it says in verse 12, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, this is to Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now that's a pretty impressive statement. That's kind of like if an angel of the Lord appeared unto you and you've been struggling with anger and just, you know, patience is just not even in the equation. And the angel of the Lord comes up to you and says, blessed are you, you mighty patient man. Yeah, that's probably what you would look sound like. I don't think so. That's exactly what Gideon did. Because it says in the next verse, verse 13, he says, and Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why? How many of you said that before? God, if your word really says that, then why? Why don't I see it? I know it says that all these miracles happened to those who believed. I know that it says that this happened then, and we can have testimonies, and I know that so-and-so got healed. I know that this got healed, but why am I not healed? You see, a lot of times we end up just like Gideon, and he says, Lord, if you are with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Okay, here we go. God said he was going to take them into this promised land. He was going to give them the promised land. And if they would obey him and serve him, then none of this would happen. But yet it's happening. And now Gideon's pointing his finger at God and saying, God, if you were telling us the truth, where are you? Why is this? You must have forsaken us. Well, let's back up a few verses. If you read from verses 1 down through 10, which we won't take the time to do, but you can sometime. Down in verse 10, it says, also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed me, or you have not obeyed my voice. So who's the guilty party for things not happening? Is it God or us, or God or them? Israelites were the ones that were disobeying God. But see, Gideon was so wrapped up in what was going on in his life, he couldn't see the disobedience right in front of him. He couldn't see. That's a strange altar standing out there beside our house. Because later on in the chapter, chapter 6, he had to go out and he cut down the altar of Baal beside his father's house, burned it, and sacrificed to God over that. He couldn't see it before that. And he's pointing his finger at God saying, you forsook us. Then the angel of the Lord said to him, in verse 14, he says, go in this mighty might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Well, right there, Think about that. How many things has God told us to go do? We haven't done it. Or we come up with more excuses. And he says, oh, we got to pray about that. You got to get God to say that louder. We got to get God to say that louder, because if God doesn't say it loud enough, we aren't going to hear it. Now, think about this. How many are familiar with this story? You guys have read this story, okay? So you know that later on in this story, he tells the angel, he says, okay, if I have found favor with you, you wait here. I'm going to go get my offering. I'll bring it back to you. And I want to see a sign. I want to see something. How many remember how many times that the Pharisees and Sadducees asked Jesus for a sign? And he would rebuke them. No, you're not going to see a sign. The only sign you're going to see is the sign of Jonah that was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. And that was referring to his death and burial and then his resurrection. But Gideon went and got all this stuff, came back, and he's talking to an angel. And he sets all of this stuff over. He sets the lamb. He sets all the meal over here on a rock. And the angel comes over with his staff. And he touches the rock, and the fire comes out of the rock and consumes the offering. And then this lightning quick mind of Gideon says, oh, I guess it's an angel that's been talking to me. Well, who did you think it was? Well, we don't know what he was thinking, but it seems like in the story, this is where it finally dawned on him that it was an angel. Then he was looking for this sign to prove that what God said is true. Well, how many of you have seen fire come out of a rock and consume a sacrifice or an offering? Not many, I'll bet. Well, then, okay, he gets that. He's all right, oh, this is an angel. And then he goes down and he tears down in the next couple verses. He goes down and he tears down the altar of Baal that was at his father's house and cut down the wooden images that were beside it and built an altar to the Lord. This is all in verse 25 and 26. And he cut it down and burnt it all up. Well, then the men of the city come out the next day and they say, who did this? Somebody says, I heard it was Gideon. And they all start pointing fingers. You've been in a crowd like that? They start pointing fingers all over the place. They're pointing fingers. It must have been Gideon. So they holler at Gideon's dad and says, bring him out here so we can kill him. And think about this. Gideon's dad, who had the altar, stepped up and he said, no, let the one who condemns Gideon be put to death. And if Baal is really a god, let him defend himself. Let him defend himself. This is the guy who's... this altar was on his ground, right next to his house. Well, that kind of shut them all up. And then God says, we need to go defeat the Midianites. And after all of these amazing things taking place, Gideon says, now, wait a minute, God. I got one more test for you. I need another sign. And he says, okay, this is how we're going to do it. If I take this fleece and I put it on the ground, I want all the ground around it to be dry and the fleece to be wet. And so the next morning they got up and all the ground was dry and the fleece was wet, and he wrung out about a bowl of water into it. And he says, okay, God, that's pretty good, but let's do it again. And this time, let the fleece be dry and all the ground around it wet. God did that for him. And then Gideon said, okay, I'll go. And then there was miracle after miracle, signs and wonders after this, trying to prove. Remember, he's standing there with his 300 men, and God says, if you're still in fear, sneak down to the tents and listen to the dreams that they're having about you coming in. And he goes down there, and God gives him another sign. How many wonder if God ever gets impatient with us? Well, God is a God of patience, so no, he doesn't. But I wonder if he slaps his forehead once in a while. What? Another? Come on. And I'm afraid that, I mean, for Gideon, okay? For Gideon, Gideon is an Old Testament man who didn't hear the voice of God like you and I. He didn't have this relationship, this personal relationship like you and I have with God. Because they were in the Old Testament under an old covenant, under the old law. So that they didn't hear the way you and I hear. So for us to be praying for all these different signs to do something would be wrong. Because that's Old Testament. Here's what God wants for you and I. Because I really believe that you and I, you know what? We just have favor with God. We have a relationship with God like no one else. And it's over in John chapter 10, verse 3. And it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. How was Gideon led? He was led by signs and wonders. How does Jesus want to lead his sheep? With his voice. See, I think sometimes we mistake the voice of God with signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are not the voice of God. You might see some amazing things, but that does not mean that's God telling you to go do that. For example, David, God anointed him to be king, right? Samuel anointed him to be king, and immediately Saul tried to start killing him, chased him all over the place. And then finally they get into a cave. You hope you know the story. They get into a cave, and his men, David's men, say, now's your opportunity. God has given you a sign. Kill him. The kingdom's yours. And David said, no, we're not going to do that. In fact, he even went up. They talked to him and convinced him to at least go up and cut the edge of his robe off. He did, and then he felt guilty. His heart felt guilty. I made a mistake. That's not God's plan. God didn't tell me to do that. These guys behind me told me to do that. I was wrong. You see, opportunity does not mean it's God's plan. It's not God's will or God's voice telling you to do it. Jesus, remember on the in the wilderness, his temptations? Jesus knew the plan of God was to take the authority. You know what? I believe even Satan knew what was going to happen. This is the beginning of my end. Because he offered him an easier way to get it. He said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all this authority, all these kingdoms. Basically, he's saying, everything you came for, I'll give it to you because it's mine. It was given to me back in the garden. We can track all that down if you want. But it was given to him. And so he had that authority to give to Jesus. There was an easier way to do it. But Jesus said, no, we're not going to do that. I've heard the voice of God. I know what I need to do. Worship the Lord your God and him only. Worship the Lord your God. See, there was an easier way. But he said, no, we're going to hear, I've heard the voice of God. Have you had situations in your life where you've heard the voice of God and you said, this is what I need to do, and people try to talk you out of it? I mean, I've heard that more times than I want to try to even remember. Because what God tells me to do is not always what sounds like the rational thing to do. It doesn't have always earthly wisdom. It doesn't always have the earthly plan. Because it's by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. After Lisa and I had been married and we had two kids, God spoke to me and told me to go back to school, to prepare to minister, to prepare to church, go to pastor. And so when I started telling people that, oh no, you can't do that. That's not right. You need to stay here. You need to do that. And they had my plan all planned out for me, but that's not what God said. God said, this is what I want you to do, and now is the time I need you to do it. And so we did it. When God first spoke to me when I was in high school and said, I want you to speak before people, I was so excited about that one word. I went home, I told my family and my friends, God called me to speak before people. So what did everybody else try to do to me? Get me up in front of people to speak. Well, I was just a high school kid. I didn't know what to say. I made such a fool out of myself. They laughed so much at me. But you know what? I heard the voice of God and I didn't quit. I didn't stop. It was not based on my ability to be able to. Yes, I could sing, but I couldn't speak and make sense. Anybody ever have that problem? You get in front of people and, yeah, the words just don't come out right. And so I would sit there and stutter and stammer, and they would just laugh. They thought that was so funny. But yet every time you do it. You see, when you hear the voice of God, that's what you need to stick with. That's what you need to stay with. Don't let the signs and the wonders guide you. Because we are guided by the Holy Spirit. Because it says in John 16, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes or has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not seek or speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come that might not exist right now. When God told me to speak, I couldn't do that. But it was coming. When he told me to pastor, I wasn't a pastor, but it was coming. God will tell you things to come. But we have to walk by faith. Believe the word of God, not signs and wonders all around you. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not the ones that are led by signs and wonders. If you hear people telling you, well, this happened, so I guess that's the way I'm supposed to go. No, what did God say? What did God say to do? Now, yes, God will confirm his word. Now, this is important to understand. He will confirm his word with signs and wonders. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus tells the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs will follow you. And then it says, that these signs will follow you in verse 15 and 16. But then in verse 20, he says, and they went out and preached everywhere according to, and the Lord working with them, confirming his word, or confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The signs came after the word. You got to hear the word first. There are so many times throughout my ministry and Lisa and I's life and marriage and all this, I have to go back to the word. God, this is what you said. I don't understand all this stuff, but your word said. You said. I got to go back to there because that's my anchor. That's what keeps me grounded. Not all the circumstances around me, not the things that are going on around me, not the difficulties, not this or not that, but the word. And I will do what the word says until I get a different word. I will stay with the word until I get a different word. God knows how to move us. God knows how to speak to us if we are willing to hear. Do you remember in the book of Revelation, Jesus writes letters to the churches, seven churches, and in every one of those churches, he tells them to listen to the Spirit. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. He didn't say, let him see all the signs and wonders. And do you know why he said it that way? Matthew chapter 24. Let me read this to you. Matthew 24. Jesus is teaching his disciples. Matthew chapter 24. Almost done. Be patient. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 24, let me go there. Verse 24 says, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so that to deceive, if possible, even the elect. How are we going to be, how are people going to be deceived? With signs and wonders. But Jesus told us at the end of Mark, he says, these signs will follow you. So you need, that's important. What did God say? And then wait for signs and wonders. In fact, you can even pray for him. The apostles prayed for him over in Acts chapter 4. It says, O Lord, look on their threats. This is in verse 29. And grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy son, servant, Jesus. The signs and wonders come after the word. You've got to hear the word. You've got to hear the word. The primary way God speaks to us is the word of God, because most of us spend time in the word. When you sit there, and you pray and you read in the morning, whenever you do your reading, that's not just words or a story. This is a letter from God to you. And if he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and these signs will follow you, the disciples took it for just that. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Let's go do it. And they went out and they preached the word of God, and the signs followed. God confirmed his word by signs and wonders. God confirmed his word through signs and wonders. The second way that God speaks to us is by the Holy Spirit. That still, small voice. And how many have heard somebody with a still, small voice? A small voice. Have you heard those people? They're hard to hear sometimes. So we need to close out a lot of the extra noise, right? Close out all that extra noise that's trying to distract us from the voice of God. Thus the fast this next month. starting tomorrow. Close out that noise, whatever that looks like in your life. Close out that noise, grab your Bible, and put your face in here. Look into the Word of God. Let the Word speak to your heart. And that's why if you have a word that God's already given you, if it, maybe it's love, joy, I don't know, whatever it might be, begin to look at that word. God, how do I study this word? I want to study this word because this is the word you've given us. What's the best way to do that? Well, God's going to show you. And what we're going to do over the next couple weeks is because sometimes when I say things and people look at me, you can see that, what did he say? Kind of look. I don't know how to do that. Kind of look. So we're going to show you how to do that. And so over the next couple weeks, my wonderful wife has volunteered. I didn't ask her to do this until she volunteered to teach us how to study the Word of God. So she's going to come up. We're going to split the service in two. And so she's going to teach us how to hear the Word of God, how to study the Word of God, how to find out, how do I dig into this? She's going to show us how to do that. And then after that, then I'll get up and then we'll pray and we'll get into it a little more here. But I just think that some of you probably, this will be so simple that you're going to like, I can't believe you're doing that on a Sunday morning. But you know what? Not everybody is where you are in your walk with the Lord. Some of us need to learn how to study, and some of us need to be reminded how to study. Not all of us are like Dale that sits down every week and just studies and studies and studies for Sunday school. You come into Sunday school and go, oh, this is going to be good just because I showed up, man. Dale's here, I'm here, it's going to be good. You didn't study or prepare, but somebody, I'm glad, did. So we're going to take some time and just go over some basic principles of how to study the Word of God and how to dig into whatever it is that God's put on your heart to learn. And it's going to be good because I believe God wants to show us things that are coming. Show us things that are about to take place in our life. It doesn't have to be this big thing, worldwide thing or anything like that. It just could be in your own heart. Maybe God's going to show you something for this next year that maybe you never anticipated. Maybe you've never anticipated freedom. Maybe you just figured you were going to be bound by this addiction for life, just the way I am. Or maybe this sickness, you thought you were just going to have to deal with it the rest of your life. You know what? God promises us more than that. God promises more than that to us. And so I want to encourage you over the next couple weeks, if you haven't come up with a word yet or something to study yet, I want you to just to be patient and just go to God in prayer. And as soon as he brings up something to your mind, go with it. That's it. Just go with it. It's not difficult to hear God. It's not difficult. God speaks to us in so many different ways. You know, he can even speak to us through our family members, through children, through our parents. I was thinking about this morning because in Odessa we were talking, I'm assuming you guys prayed for those that were in New Orleans and all that mess that took place down there. And Lisa was telling me this morning, or not this morning, but this week, that our niece was going to go with some friends down to New Orleans for New Year's Eve. And Mama said, no, you need to stay home. And she accepted it and said, fine, okay. And when they were getting into her group, when they were getting to their motel was when all this took place. God speaks to us in so many different ways. And you know what? Many times we don't realize it until after it's already done. And we go, wow, that must have been God. When all the time you were thinking, well, that's just Mom not wanting me to have fun. Now, this is a college girl. She'll be a senior in college next year. So this isn't just some high school, junior high little girl that you know, is still there at home. She's a college girl, junior in college right now. But her mom said, no, you don't need to do that. And nobody knew what was going to take place but God. And God knows how to direct our steps. Aren't you glad? So don't think it's got to be this big, you know, amazing thing to tell you what to do. It could be so simple. That's why I keep staying with the simple things. You know, love, joy. Oh, I know how to love. I know what joy is all about. Do we really? Just be patient with God. It might be so simple. He tells you something so simple. And my prayer is we have 3 weeks until this is all, 3 Sundays until this is all done. Next week, the next week, and then the third week is the end, the 26th. My prayer on the 26th is that we all are able to stand up and say, look what God has done. He showed me this. He taught me this. He revealed this to me. So I write these things down, because on the 26th, Sunday morning, I want to hear what God's showing you, because God wants to speak to us. And you know what? There may be several people with the same word, and they're going to stand up and say, well, God showed me this. And then somebody over here says, but God showed me this too. That's great. This is what I saw. This is what God showed me. You know, there is no limit to what God can teach us if we're willing to hear what he says. Amen?